Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, 2 weeks running, we're back. It's a great show we've got lined up for you. We've done all the stuff from the keynote last week, and now this week we're going to deal with all of the trials and tribulations of putting iOS 13 on your device and whether it's worked any good or not. Joining me, absolutely stellar panel. Love these boys, and it's been such a while since we've had this collection together. Starting us off, Doc, top left, how you doing, bud?
Hello, I know. I'm doing good for a sleepless week.
Because of your dog.
That, well, two things, never do at the same time. Never start the whole juice fasting thing and mix it with getting a new puppy, because the two of those things don't mix well.
Juice fasting?
Yeah, would you like a big, gigantic glass of juice?
So you're eating nothing, you're just drinking loads of juice?
Yep.
That's a horrible idea.
In an attempt to...
It's good. It works good. It's not like, you know, juice I bought from the store. It's just vegetables. And I mean, it doesn't make you hungry or anything like that. I mean, it's like eating food if you just ate all salad, but it's a lot easier than chewing 40 pounds of salad. You know what I mean? So you just drink it. And I mean, I can eat vegetables and stuff and fruit, but...
So if you eat 40 pounds of anything, it's not good.
That's not juice.
That's a smoothie, yeah. It's a
full... No, this is not a smoothie. The smoothie is when you put all of the candy and stuff in it. This is literally raw juice. The main difference is juicer versus blender. Juicer takes out all of the
pith.
The thick and pith and all of that mess, and it's just easy to palate.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's 12 and a half pounds down in like little or no time. But, you know, not like starving myself to death. If I got to eat, I'll eat. But, you know.
Good lad. Well, that's just wise words.
Nah, if you watch the movie Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, and you'll know what I'm doing.
Okay. I'll put that on the bucket list. Thanks, mate. Next to him, a man we haven't seen in forever, Mr. Joyner. How the devil are you?
I am great, you, and it's good to be back. I'm sorry, mate, that the schedules haven't been able to be put together for a while, but I'm back.
It's voluntary, mate. It's not compulsory.
Well, yeah, but I want to be here. That's the thing, and just life intervenes once in a while.
We know you want to be here. Now then, you've got a new podcast you were telling us about before we started. Tell us more.
Yeah, just for fun, I started a podcast called Trek Favorites. It's a Star Trek podcast. And the idea is that I invite guests on. I ask them to pick a favorite episode, not the favorite, because that's all but impossible, but a favorite episode of any Star Trek series, and then tell us why it resonated with them and why they picked it. And it has been really interesting. I've been constantly surprised by the guests, not by necessarily the episodes they picked, but a lot of times about why they picked it. And I bill it as, you know, my tech friends and my Trek friends. So there have been a little bit of both on right now. The friends I have from the Star Trek world, but also my tech friends, because Star Trek, you know, is kind of a universal language among tech people anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not a great, I don't mind Star Wars, but it never kind of hit me at a very root level. Whereas Star Trek, I always gravitated more towards, in terms of the storylines as well, you know, that kind of hope of humanity always seemed to resonate a bit better than somewhere that was far, far away.
Yeah, and taking nothing away from Star Wars, but I'm like you. I absolutely enjoy Star Wars, but I can't quite go back and watch and rewatch and rewatch and get the same enjoyment out of it. With Star Trek, you can always do that. Plus, there's so much more.
Right, I am now hunting through. If I seem a little bit distracted today, it's because I'm hunting through my favourite Star Trek episodes to try and bagsy one from Chuck before anyone else gets one of the decent episodes, because some of them are already gone. We've already had the Darmak and Jalard at Tanagra.
Yeah, well, I would definitely look forward to having you on. Trekfavorites.com.
I'm in. Next to him, welcome return as well for Mr. Terpstra. How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent, mate. What's been happening in your life?
I just realized that wearing a white shirt with this matte display camera, I'm glowing like an angel.
There is a certain... it's angelic. Yeah, you're right. It's not horrible, though.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I look
angelic.
We're good.
That's fine. You're standing there. That's good. We like that. What you been up to?
Programming.
Oh, right.
I haven't had my head above water for a while now.
Right, okay. Well, are you getting somewhere, though?
Yeah. I'm close to a release.
Ah, nice, nice one, mate. Make sure you plug it when you get it.
Oh, I definitely will.
Good man. And last but by no means least, Patrice, semi-permanent Phoenix now, waiting for Austria.
Yeah.
Austria will not know what's
this house end of the week. Hey, well, Monday.
You're out of the house on Monday, so you start work on Tuesday or something silly like that, is it?
No. I'm working for a team in Germany already. Like that's what we did when I was last in Germany. Right. And I'm basically, I'm working from here. I'm working with the US team anyway, right now, setting something up here in the US. So it's not that, like, it's literally just Monday's the end of the month and we have the house until the end of the month. So,
oh, right.
And then I'm going to stay probably a week here and then start moving basically.
Exciting times, mate.
Yes, that too. It's good, also man. Just a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's fair enough. The week in tech, week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. Got to start with iOS 13, really, because how's that gone for everyone? It's been a bit of a, I've had a bit of a turmoil with battery, I have to say. It's not been pleasant.
It's been flawless, but I expected my battery to be okay because I have the new Beast. But the only weird thing that happened, and it had nothing to do with iOS 13, although I was blaming it on iOS 13, it turns out that somewhere approximately August 15th, Apple decided to make it so that you cannot refill Apple Pay cash with a MasterCard business bank. So even though it's not really your debit card that refills it, it's your debit card that refills it because they use that system. And so if your bank account is connected to MasterCard business debit, they no longer support that, which is weird because it's MasterCard. It's not like Amex or Discover or something weird, but you know, Apple Pay Cash is Discover. So yeah. Anyway, that's been the only thing. I've been amazed by that because normally the first week is a headache.
Yeah, no. I've had issues with battery. I mean, I really got hawked on day one and day two. And then I put 13.1 on and I got it done again. And then yesterday, I got to say, it was a lot better, an awful lot better than it had been previously. Mm-hmm. So, and I got to say, I kind of feel like the OS is, it feels slicker. It feels like it looks better as well, but I can't tell you what it is about it that makes it look better. There's some of the like when you go into silent mode, you get a little bar that comes up and says silent mode, and it looks...
I love that.
Yeah, it's just kind of like little touches like that. Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's just
the smallest tweaks, yeah.
It is, but it just feels a lot classier.
Yeah.
I like
the way... I want you to know that there's hundreds of those.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, they also changed like the typography a little bit. Like they made things a little bit more clearer with having like different font sizes and so on, like throughout the system.
And the iconography. And they provided the SF, the San Francisco symbols to everybody so we can get some consistency and stuff's looking good.
Yeah. They also changed, if you're pulling down your control center tear sheet, when you go in to do things like mess with the Wi-Fi or mess with the Bluetooth, they made it a little bit better as far as the long press and being able to actually select the Wi-Fi from in there versus just turn it on and off or mute it. You actually can hold it and go in and like change SSIDs or whatever inside the tear sheet. It's just a bunch of tiny, tiny little things.
What, the new clock interface, the pull down.
The new countdown interface. Huh?
In the pull down.
Yeah. So in the pull down before, you would be able to mute your Wi-Fi or turn on your Wi-Fi, right? But if you long press the Wi-Fi thing, because you know Touch ID is gone. If your device still has it, it kind of still works. But like you know, as far as new devices, they don't have it anymore. If you you basically do what would be the long press or Touch ID. What's the word? Touch. Tactile press, haptic,
force press, 3D touch.
There you go, 3D press. Then you hold it, and then you can actually select the SSID you want to jump onto. So if you're in your house and you want to steal the neighbors, you can pick which neighbor you're stealing versus just a random neighbor.
Well, you've got the same on Bluetooth, so you see your connected devices, and you can choose what you want to connect to as well. That's really good. See, the only time with that 3D touch thing, I've only ever activated it accidentally so far.
I love 3D touch.
So I love 3D touch, and now I kind of miss it. I mean, it works, but I miss it.
Once I got used to the long press, I can accept that as a replacement. I was worried they were going to get rid of that kind of feature set altogether.
It makes navigating through things so much easier, both the OS and also within some apps, the capabilities they built into it.
The number of apps, I'm just sitting going through now and doing long press on quite a few of them, and there's a number of apps that really have not taken advantage of that.
Right.
Yep. But you know what's really cool is now to do the long press, to do the rear range, it's way better. And you can also bail out of it a lot easier. Like, it's so much easier to go in and, like, I just downloaded an app. I don't leave apps floating. All my apps are in folders, right? So after you download it, you just sit there, long press, and hit rearrange real quick, move it into the folder to which it belongs, and then out of it real quick without messing it up. Before, you would try to rearrange stuff, and it was just a pain in the butt.
Well, I will caveat, though, with one thing. If you do a rearrange and you drag it and it even gets close to another group, that group expands, and trying to get that to disappear again is a pain in the arse.
Mm-hmm.
That really, they've got that too twitchy. They need, you know, if you're moving it and you pass over it, you need to hover a little second before it then pops open. But as soon as you get near, it's almost like it's magnetic. It just goes, woomph, oh yeah, I love it. And it's the wrong group, and you, then to try and get back from that is a pain in the butt.
You know, Ewan, I think I know, and again, I haven't, because I didn't have it, I didn't really follow the articles, I just skipped over them, but I think I know why people had some battery issues in the very beginning, is that when you install, once you install iOS 13 and 13.1, either or, your apps start app slimming. So it has to go through all of the apps and slim them and purge the, you know, like extra language sets and whatnot that you don't need. Similar to that used to be a third party thing that you had in a set app that you can use on your laptop to do the same thing. That's the only thing I could think of, because the updates were pretty, the updates are ragged. Like, you know, normally everybody has their kit ready for the first couple of days, and I'm still looking at apps that are like the updates are only coming now, and this has been over a week.
Yeah, I think
I'm with you on that, because I had I don't want to call out an app, but I had an app that should have been in the App Store, and the developer said he pulled it and it'll be available in a couple days, and I was really disappointed because it's an app I use a lot, it's a moderately well known app, but it's like how could you not know this was coming? Now, if you had a problem, that's one thing, but. I was just a little disappointed in that particular
level. Was that a purchased app?
Yes, it was.
So how are you going to track your purchases coming back, or are you going to get stung for another purchase?
I don't know. I mean, that'll be an interesting question as to, you know, what he decides to do or how he does it.
Yeah.
He can keep the same app ID without – he can just
– Right, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
In the forum for Filmic, I will call it an app because I actually defended them, but people were losing their mind because Filmic didn't have, you know, everything ready. But they said in the keynote it'll be coming later. Like, they literally said it was coming later. But like, everyone in the Filmic Pro group on Reddit and on Facebook were losing their minds because, you know, they got the new phone because they wanted to try the new feature and it wasn't there. And then also, it won't switch between the third lens yet. And I guess instead of fixing the lens thing now and bringing the multicam thing later, they would just wanted to fix it all together, and people are losing their mind. And so here's where it was funny. There's people who just, you know, got the new phone and then got the new app, and they're like, oh, I can't believe the app was, you know, like, $19, and then in order to get the cinema thing, it's going to be another $13. And you think they're going to charge us again for the multicam? And I was like, bro, how many, you know, people are coming from the real filmmaking world? Like, Anton Bauer battery cover was like $200. Like, this is what filming can do, and what your phone does is so cheap in comparison to where we came from. And to be at the whole thing for under $30 is nothing. But you can't tell that to anybody in iOS.
No, but it's I totally get what they're saying there in the fact that this is an expectation thing of how I am to be treated by developers. You know, I don't mind paying for things, but I expect to be treated with respect. And if things suddenly disappear, I'm going to get really pissed. When I feel like I should have access to it.
It wasn't there on day one, but they said in the keynote it wasn't going to be there on day one. And then when you downloaded the app, if you read the thing first before you download it, which I get, no one does, it says that that is coming later in October, November timeframe. Like it literally has it written on the, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I've had Filmic since day one. So I guess I know how good that app is. You know, but it's just, it's funny that people's expectation, and we're used to it by now, but yeah.
It's not always rational.
Coming back to the battery thing, a lot of time, the first battery drain is machine learning, because it's not only like iOS that's doing machine learning, like for photos, for whatever, like events, for basically everything in the system at this time. It's also a lot of apps. Like a lot of apps are adding machine learning capabilities, and that has to run. Like the first time you install it, the first time there's a new model, they have to reprocess it since Apple's doing it all on device. And that, like, I mean, Apple's supposed to do the best to only do it at night and when you're connected to power and whatever, but clearly that isn't working.
No, that didn't happen. I can guarantee. Looking at it was almost like watching my battery indicator just slowly slide down during the day while it was on. And every time I opened it up, it's like, oh, it's jumped. But I ended yesterday. I carried one of these around with me. So I've got four full charges in that. So one of those was in my pocket.
Does anybody know what's actually doing it? I mean, Patricia, I heard what you said, and that makes a certain amount of sense, but I've had zero battery issues. I mean, zero, nothing. No,
there's a distinct split in the Slack room as well, where some have and some haven't, yeah.
So you know what's weird is when I first did my phone, I picked it up, and I normally wasn't going to set it up until I got back to the house. But I decided to roll to AT&T to make sure that the account was going to get stuck on the eSIM so that I can leave the SIM pocket open for travel to, you know, like Japan, China, Korea, UK, whatever. I could just roll in and get a SIM from the 7-Eleven, stick it in the empty slot. So I wanted to make sure that the hard account was on the eSIM. And when I went in, it decided that in order to activate the eSIM, I had to fully, you know, go through setting up the phone. And so what was cool, though, is it didn't pull any apps or download any apps in the background unless you were connected to Wi-Fi and plugged in. So, you know, once it started the phone and got everything activated, I need to pull down like 300 apps, but it refused to do that without being Wi-Fi'd up and plugged in. Yeah. So it was, like Patrice said, trying. I also believe that because the search in iCloud actually works, like when you search your notes or your messages, it had to go and re-index all of that stuff because it used to be horrible. I could search for a conversation that, you know, you and I had about, you know, some light, and I go to find it, and it doesn't even think Ewan's in there. And so even if I would pull up the actual name and search for a conversation, it couldn't find anything. But now it's working relatively well.
That's an indexing thing, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I can believe. Ironically, some of the updates in 13.1 were to optimize battery charging and improve battery life.
Probably. Yeah. Did anybody who got a new phone, did you see the new phone-to-phone transfer of, like, when you said it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was super nice. Did you try it with the lightning cable, or you did it over the Wi-Fi?
No. I just did it over the Wi-Fi.
Yep. Yeah, so I did it. My friend's Wi-Fi was acting wonky. And so I was like, wait a minute, don't you have that thing to connect your MIDI keyboard to your phone? He goes, yeah. I go, okay, plug that in and then plug in a lightning cable to the other phone and watch what happens. And it was cool. And it's slower than actual Wi-Fi, but it does work. So if you're paranoid or whatever, you can actually build a little cable with just a camera kit and or HDMI output, and then the lightning cable, you build a little, like a lap link cable, and it still works. It's pretty amazing.
Cool. But it's not, I don't think it's using Wi-Fi though. I think it's point to point. So just like AirDrop is, yep. I don't think it's dependent on Wi-Fi.
Well, it couldn't start, could it?
I mean, it sets up a point-to-point Wi-Fi.
Right.
Oh, it's point-to-point Wi-Fi. Yeah, but I did it. I mean, I was shocked at how easy and simple it worked, and it just worked, and it was, like Doc said, it was fast too.
Well, I was going to say, mm-hmm. what was the perception of how it would be against having to do it through a backup? And I suppose it has got to be quicker, hasn't it? Because it's
quicker.
Yeah, it took me less than an hour to transfer everything over, and everything worked right away.
Yeah. And I'm guessing...
It's pretty cool.
If you've got an older phone... No, forget it. I was going to say something stupid then. Not that that's ever stopped me in the past. Have we had a go with TV OS yet?
I haven't.
Is that out?
That is.
It's released.
I mean, I've had the betas, but I have no clue.
Fourth and fifth generation Apple Mod TVs comes after 7 months of beta testing. You can now download it over the air through the settings app on the Apple TV by going to System Software Update. Apple TV owners who have automatic software updates should have it already. Mine looks different, but I haven't exactly had a play with it yet.
I can tell you one of my favorite features, and it's the account. With a family here, I finally don't get all the animes that one of my daughters is watching and all of that in my watch next list.
Yeah, I did see that. That was... there's a distinctly different look to it, and they've done something with the home button as well, haven't they? If you double tap the home button, it takes you back to... I can't remember. What does it take you back to?
Yeah. And also, if you long press the TV button, the home button, it there's this little slide menu where you can switch accounts, you can put the TV to sleep, and like a couple of other things.
And of course, one of the fantastic things of this as well is that your Xbox controller and PS4 controller work with it.
Yep. I keep meaning to try that, but I haven't had a chance to play with it. I just think the main thing is that, again, the UI is a little bit faster, but that slidey remote thing, it's still a bear. But, I mean, I don't hate it. It's just sometimes I hate when you try to move down one app and always jump to.
The only thing that bothers me with that is the pairing, because you'd end up unpairing one of your controllers from your Xbox and then pairing it to the Apple TV, and you've got to pair it back if you want to go back to the...
I wouldn't mind if you could do it by cable, like a USB cable or something.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you've got that small, you've got the micro USB port at the back, haven't you? But I think that's diagnostics only. That doesn't actually do anything with connectivity, so...
At least not so far.
GB Redneck in the chat room says no power issues here. It's all worked swimmingly. They've not had any problems at all with the upgrade. So it's just me. It's raw chicken in restaurants, boys. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Typical. Bloody typical. Let's do it just to piss Rankin off. Catalina is coming on 4th of October, allegedly, because Apple's Danish website cocked up.
As always.
Whilst Apple has provided no detail when the launch date might be, Apple's Danish macOS Catalina website suggests that it could be coming on Friday the 4th of October.
Mm. I mean, they said October, and my feeling is it is relatively stable and working. So,
yeah. I am a little concerned. It's more about the apps that haven't upgraded to 64-bit yet. There will be some apps that I still depend on that won't run anymore.
Or it's the apps Apple's that support the move. The apps that use kernel extensions and should switch to the new driver kit.
Yeah.
That's going to be an issue.
Do you think that somebody could make a VMware type thing?
That was
your 32 bits to run in a back pocket.
I was just saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want like a Sunbox, don't you, kind of thing, where it just sits there and you crack it open and you can stick your thing. Because there's a few friends that I've got who work in graphic design, And one of the companies that I do work for, they've had issues with 32-bit versus 64, mm-hmm. where it's just stopped working. So there is going to be some hurt out there, especially in the creative field.
The VM hey, Ewan, do you mind if I do a quick plug?
Yeah, go for it, mate. No, absolutely.
Okay, so on that topic, I just had on the product manager for VMware on Mac Voices, and we had an hour-long discussion about this exact topic. That right. you can run a virtual machine on a 64-bit operating system and have that virtual machine running 32-bit or vice versa. Yeah. So go check it out because he gets into a lot of details about how to do it and what the limitations are and the capabilities. But it sounds like that was going to be a solution for a lot of people.
Was that midway through his favorite Trek episode or was that on Mac Voices?
No, that was on Mac Voices.
He broke off from talking about data to talk about virtualization of 32-bit applications. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really good discussion. We got in a little technical, but not too much. It's not going to put anybody to sleep, but I think it answers a lot of questions about what you can and can't do.
Yeah, took in lemon juice in the wound. Deep Pan has already said, yeah, no power issues here either. Thanks, man. Thanks. Makes me feel so much better. What about sign-in then? Because that's one of the new features, isn't it?
The only thing I've been able to do it on is Kayak. I can't find any other apps. And I was like, come on, I want to do that. And I want to be able to, and the hard part about Kayak is I had to delete my real Kayak account and then go back and set it up, which is, I guess, okay. But I have my travel history in Kayak, but I have all of that stuff, you know, in day one, so no biggie. But there has to be a way to allow you to migrate to that from the old traditional sign in with Google or sign in with FaceSpace.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that they get this rolled out. And it'd be nice to see it kind of almost compulsory, wouldn't it, on developers that they can't take your details and stuff. And you are well hidden in certain circumstances. But I don't think they will.
Wasn't Apple forcing people or at least apps to offer that? Like if they were offering sign in with Google or Facebook that they had to do it, at least if you had an app?
I don't know.
They said it's going to happen at some point, but it's not there yet. Okay. Chuck, are we talking about Mike Schmidt or no, that Doug is Doug Scripps, Doug, right? That's not him. Which one is it?
No, Doc, but it's the current one, the very top one.
GeekTales?
No, it should be listed as solving problems with virtualization. Let me see how
it's titled. Because you didn't post Instagram yet, that's why. Because that's how I find.
No, it's not on. I haven't gotten to Instagram yet. No, okay, you gotta go to the main site. Michael Roy of VMware.
Oh, from Succession.
I don't know. 19-222 on Mac Voices.
Oh, that's my favorite new TV show, Succession on HBO. The family is called Roy, but it's an amalgamation of the Murdochs, the Trumps, and like all of the other rich douchebags.
Tell us how you really feel, Doc.
No, it's a good show. You got to watch it. Like it's pretty interesting because you finally get to understand how people with that kind of paper act.
The bunny's back.
Oh, drums.
No, that's the bunny.
No, that was the bunny.
He's actually, it's not actually a bunny. It's someone in a bunny costume.
You should move the bunny into frame so at least we can put like a visual with the sound.
Yeah, that's true.
The frame is not big enough for this size bunny.
Oh, it is. It is actually a pretty big bunny. Like for like pet bunnies, it's like about this size.
Unless bunny is a euphemism for the way that they discipline the children. No. To the cage. Deep Pan's put Bluetooth issues and CarPlay issues are plenty though in iOS 13. And Chuck, you've said what? Because you haven't got any.
Yeah, well, I won't. I have not had Bluetooth issues. But I was more interested in CarPlay because I'm a big CarPlay user, a big CarPlay fan, and I plugged it in. It worked right away. I love it. It's been flawless. Oh. So I'm interested to see what issues he's had.
The new interface for CarPlay is amazing. I love it.
So much better. So much better.
I haven't got CarPlay. I feel bad now.
Sorry. That's all right, man. Yeah, I mean, somebody, you get the impression that somebody that was using CarPlay actually went to the design team and said, hey, these are some things that we would like. I mean, there's still some, a little bit of evolution I'd still like to see, but this is a huge step forward for it.
You can also see some direction that you're taking, like with the new dashboard interface. That's really, at least I found it really helpful. They're trying to make it more useful and also like more functional at the same time, not having like one app at a time where it's like, okay, you're in Maps and that's it. Or you're in like whatever other app you would use, whatever your, let's say, podcast app and that's it. You can actually have multiple apps on screen at the same time. And I think that's super useful.
According to Deepan, seems to be one of the issues where he's going to have. CarPlay audio jumps when I'm moving between the views on the car screen. Sometimes the screen's redraw doesn't work, so the interface leaves a big space where the CarPlay interface should be.
That might depend on your audio manufacturer, your deck manufacturer.
Yeah.
The only way to test it would be, you know, hire a car or somebody else's car. But the thing that I like about it, and humble brag real quick, on the BMW 2019, the screen is like this big, so it uses it all. Before, it used to park in the corner, but now it knows how to like use that Star Trek wraparound that I basically have as a dashboard, and that changed the game for me.
Do you know the difference between a humble brag and just a brag?
No, it was a straight up brag. It's out of 2019 5 Series people. Okay, I love it.
Brag.
Ball out, baby. Hey, people of my shade of color, we have a tendency to enjoy nice cars.
A humble brag is I've got 100,000 miles on my car.
No, the multi-screen CarPlay will also be like super useful. More and more cars, like newer cars, have more than one screen. Like you might have the big screen in the middle, but actually your dashboard is also just a screen. And like you can use that.
Patrice, sort of along those lines. Now, the CarPlay interface and the phone interface don't necessarily have to be in the same app. And I really, really like that part that,
Waze up on my screen. When you're listening to your podcast and Chuck calls and your car switches and you're like, no, you can't get back because you're driving the cops right next to you so you can't be touching stuff. Yeah, it's way better now.
Yeah, or like what has happened is like you're in Maps and your wife wants to change the track in Spotify. And she goes into Spotify, and in iOS 12 and earlier, it would literally...
Is this a for instance, like, if your wife wants to change, not actually like that?
All the time. No, but it was really annoying because, like, it would switch from like, on the CarPlay display, it would switch from Maps to Spotify, so you couldn't, like, while you were driving, you couldn't see the Maps anymore. Now that is separate, so she can change the song on your phone while like the map is still up.
She being the fictional character that that this would be for if it actually had happened.
No, it has happened.
Like, I know. You're not.
He's trying to save you. He's trying to save your marriage. Never say wife. No.
She really enjoys that feature. Like she was annoyed by the iOS 12 version. Like whenever we connected her phone, she could do anything with it.
And fellas,
you know, you're always welcome to stay when you get kicked out if you mix those two together.
Fellas, she's not gonna be watching this rubbish anyway, so.
Anyway, yeah.
No, good point. GB Redneck, I'm trying to find out the same thing. I would like to have Waze as my mini map too, but so far I haven't found a way. Mm-hmm. So that's a great question, and I don't know of a way yet, at least not in this iteration.
Yeah, I did notice that if you want to use Waze, you can't put it in the corner one. Like it wants to use the default one only. I did notice that. Mm-hmm. And then so you end up with two maps on the screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
But to Patrice's point, when you get to the part where there's a turn or something, there's an alert coming. Because of the new multi-screen sort of setup, tachometer would normally be, my tachometer quickly switches to the map so that you're not looking at the center of the dashboard. You know what I mean? You're still sort of eyes forward, and then the heads-up display, the arrow pops up there, and it pops up on the tachometer real quick. And then after you make your turn, it goes away. It comes back to the normal dashboard so that you can see the tachometer or the turbo thingy or whatever. And then, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Manufacturers have got to get their entertainment centers in front and center in front of the operator, so that you can have a hands-on control on the wheel that you can navigate with. You know, even like just a cursor, blip, 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 left, 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 right, down, down, press on, and then the speed has got to go to heads-up display. It should be law, mandatory, because that would just get rid of all of the issues of people texting and driving and that kind of stuff. It's got to be there where you can see it, where you can do it with controls on the steering wheel. Most definitely. There you go.
I agree. And HUDs are expensive. Like a lot of places, they'll really, really mark it up in order to get the HUD because it's still seen as cool. HUD's been around since like the late 80s. It's not cool anymore. Just put it there.
HUDs have been around since the Korean War.
I'm in a car.
Well, nobody. All it is a freaking reflection on a piece of glass.
Yeah. I just remember when it first came out in a car, everybody thought it was the coolest thing because it was very tricky.
Yeah. One other feature that I've really enjoyed, probably very few people have actually tested it yet, is my garage door is connected to HomeKit. So I can, from the car, from the dashboard, open and close my garage door. Like when I approach the house, I can literally just tap on it and it just opens. So that is, I found actually more useful than like the remote that I still have in the car.
So do you feel like that's a back cave type thing?
Yeah,
it's not just that. I've also got the massive waterfall that covers the garage door linked to HomeKit as well. So it abates the flow of water while the door opens, while I go in my 100,000 mile car.
I'm pretty sure you could hook that up.
Lair.
Yeah.
Patrice's lair. Watch. Now, there's an interesting thing here to talk about because there's been a teardown of the componentry in the Series 5 watch compared to the Series 4 watch. And apparently, in terms of hardware, there's literally fudge all difference. Apart from, they've managed to get an extra 10% out of the battery.
I've heard there's an extra battery chip in there.
Well, go on then. Tell us more.
I mean, that's what I've... I haven't looked at the teardowns yet, like, fully. But I heard that, like, the only change to the system on chip was that they... like crammed an extra chip for this always on functionality basically in there, and that's it.
Yeah, it's well, for the article that they're saying on Mac Rumors, because we don't get our stories anywhere else, they're saying that it's the only major feature change between the 4 and the 5 is the always on display.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And a little bit more battery power.
Apple didn't say anything else. Like,
but
they
there's
I mean, it was pretty obvious. Like, they did not talk about more power or battery life or anything for the Apple Watch. They literally just talked about the always-on display.
Yeah. Well, they did talk about battery, didn't they? They did say it lasted a bit longer. But I think the thing is as well, though, they haven't changed the price, have they? So the top-end price is identical as it was on the 4 for the 5. So you are getting a 4 Plus here, effectively. And they've the pricing has reinforced that.
Yeah, I think they can't say nothing changed
because it has an S5 chip instead of an S4 chip, and then the hardware became 44 millimeters instead of 42. That's two changes.
Okay, sorry, fanboy.
No, 44 was before. Like, that was Series 4.
Yeah, those are Series 4. The 2 millimeters is for the battery bit that they've changed, nothing else.
Yeah, but and they made the chip bigger. So, I mean, that's something. I didn't have before, so I don't care.
Chuck, you got a comment there?
No, I think 44, I'm with Patrice. I think the 44 was a Series 4.
I know that.
Yeah.
He's got
it. So it was 44 and 44.
I have it.
Oh, Doc, that's just blowing one of your ships out of the water, mate.
It wasn't a ship because these things are dumb to me. The watch you bought it, you like it? Cool.
I'm going E4 with that one.
But it's definitely better. A slightly bigger interface is just nicer. It just looks nicer.
I got to say, as I said to you, me and the wife are of a certain age now, where I think the health elements that are in the watch are actually probably more appealing to us. So, you know, as much as I've enjoyed going back to an analog watch, And I do love my analog watch, and I don't think I'll ever stop wearing it when I go out or something like that. But I can see a benefit to having the day-to-day pull-on watch in the morning, sleep pattern monitoring, you know, because I'm not getting any younger. And it'd be good if I fell over that they would call somebody, because, you know, I'm 53 now, so I'm prone to a fall.
So the question lies in the fact that they're able to give a somewhat of a style change and whatever to a watch and then come out with a new model. Is that bad or good? Because, like, if you look at all the other watchmakers, they make new models every year and there's no real hardware change other than the diamonds or the lapis crystals.
Mate,
or,
no one was having a go.
Huh?
No, I'm just saying, guys,
because it's the tech thing. Like, we love to take stuff apart and look for something to be wrong, but that just goes to show maturity of the product, right? The product is good enough that it needed a couple minor tweaks, and they didn't, you know, like, make it different. You know, not make it different. That's not the right word.
Yes, though.
I think what it comes down to is, I think there's still, like, at least I feel like the battery and the power of the Apple Watch are still not where I think they could be. Like, I think there's still room for improvement there, and there's power that would be needed on the Apple Watch to do certain things. Like, it's still, like, if you open an app, like, there's still a bit of lag that I would like to see go down. And I think that's where I come down, where I'm like, why didn't they change the processor? Like, why didn't they improve that? What's the reason for it? Is it just not ready? Didn't they want to? Like, what's behind it? Like, it's less on the phone. Like, I think on the phone, we're at the point where, like, an improvement and, like, processor power is not that important anymore.
Okay, so define change processor, because if it was S4 and now it's S5, isn't that a change of processor?
No. Like, according to iFixit, the processor itself didn't change. Like, the S4, that's a system on chip, so that's a lot of chips integrated into one package, basically. And according to iFixit, what they could see or what the people could see, it's literally the only difference is that they added a chip to that package. Like, the processor is actually the same.
Patrice has gone E5.
Doc, to address your question, I mean, I don't think that this was a style change. This was a feature change. And so I couldn't have cared less, but it was a feature change. It meant I had an always-on watch face if and when I wanted it. And that to me is a feature change, and that means that I would consider doing an upgrade. But if it was a style change...
Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant the feature. I meant that always-on. The always-on for me was the number one reason. Like, I like it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's worth it because Ewan said they didn't gouge us for it. They didn't charge us the extra.
No.
Quid. It's the same price.
E6.
I don't get the reference, so I guess I'm missing something.
Battleships. Didn't you play Battleships as a kid?
Oh, yeah. No, we weren't that rich.
We've done E3, E4, E5, and E6 now. So all we need is Brett to come on an E7, and that's your battleship. Toasted, mate.
E12.
E12 is not that big. Mate, it's not that big. 10.2-inch iPad, now available for purchase at selected Apple stores. Discuss.
Don't care.
Was this, I'm going to say, was this a big enough upgrade to really kind of I mean, I know that the education pricing really impressed me. You know, starting at $299, I thought that was awesome to let education have that. Because Ellis is going on about having a Chromebook. And there's a bit of me who's like, well, if he gets a little keyboard with this, I've got enough Bluetooth keyboards kicking around. He could have this on his desk at home, and he's got a fully featured work site there. And actually, are we closer now to replacing a laptop with iPad?
Yes, the Apple Pencil matters.
I want to say yeah, because I plugged in the SSD to my iPad Pro the other day, and I was like very, 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 very pleased. It's quite amazing. And it was one of those things where it's like, I always wanted to do this, but I couldn't because I couldn't use an external system drive. And then I did it, and I was like, wow, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, you know, music library, you know, my DJ app, now I can have my little portable 2 terabyte SSD, and I have all the music that I need to do anything, and all I have to carry is those two little pieces and an adapter to connect to the sound system. and it's on. Like, it's quite amazing. So,
it wouldn't be an Apple device without an adapter, would it? Brett, you were going to say something.
Well, I mean, the Apple Pencil's compatible with the regular iPads now, and I think that matters. It doesn't matter to me, but I think it matters.
Yeah. I mean, I said it last week. I think this is this was a big step for the reason that I think this is the entry point like iPad, and Apple lowered the price slightly. They offer education pricing. I'm pretty sure if you're a big, like, whatever school district, you can probably even get a lower price than that simply because you buy whatever 10,000 of those. And like the Apple Pencil support is going to be super useful. I mean, I remember last year when I was in Hawaii around, was it Christmas, Thanksgiving, Jerome, he bought like his daughter an iPad, and like, she loved it. Like, she used the Logitech crayon to draw on it. And like, my daughters here, both of them really like, they grab my iPad every now and then, which I don't like because it's like, it's an expensive device. I don't want them to drop it, but like, for them, that's the perfect device, like, to draw, to like, do their homework, all of that. Like, it's portable, it's like, lightweight, it's like everything they need.
You know what the difference is going to be, Patrice? We came up with desktops, and then that turned into laptops, and so the tablet is the thing that's not the thing that we grew up with, so our somewhat slight curmudgeon-y is built into that. When you start from iPad first, and then you get, you know, the desktop or the laptop, you want to go back to the iPad. I bought Emma, not Brett's dog, my niece, iPad when she was 2, and that was the iPad Air, and she basically had that until the 2018 $300 iPad came out. Now she has that. And then when we started coding class last year, they made her use a Chromebook. And without knowing the stuff that we know and all of the complaining that, you know, we either address or don't address on the show, she does not like her Chromebook because it's not as flip it backwards, go run on the couch, do something, not have to prop it on your lap, not have it heat up, like all that stuff. To her, as a just recently turned 10-year-old, she doesn't go to the Chromebook the way that she did her iPad. And the number one the first thing she said to me when she first got the Chromebook is, "Uncle, how come I can't move this by moving the screen?" And I'm like, "Oh, you have to use a little trackpad." She goes, "The mouse that's not a mouse?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that." And so I think that's what it is, right? Because I remember a long time ago, I remember telling you guys on the show, Grandpa and I were watching baseball once, and the ESPN ticker pops up. She gets up at like 3 years old and tries to move it out of the way because it's blocking Grandpa's view of baseball. You know, so because that tactile to her was first, going to something like this, and the keyboard makes zero sense to her, even at 10. And she's been on this device for 8 years. You know, she doesn't like it. It's not that it doesn't make sense. She doesn't like it, so to speak. So I think for all of the industry, is it like a laptop yet? For the new kids, laptop is not even the word.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. Fair point.
What is a computer?
Yeah, no, there is a point in there. I think the new, like I said, a 299, if I could get Ellis a £299 iPad with a keyboard, I've got old pencils here he can use and take it to school, then I think I'm pretty much in, because I think that's a proper alternative to a Chromebook, even though a Chromebook may be fractionally cheaper.
It's $329 now, so you just got to catch a sale.
Well, no, yeah,
but you get what you pay for. I mean, you know, I think there's a big mistake here being made every time I hear somebody say, "But this is cheaper," because you can always find cheaper. I mean, that's not a problem. Somebody is selling a no-name tablet for, you know, $49 somewhere. I don't know where it is, but somewhere it's being sold.
Oh yeah,
but
Amazon.
But you know, that's kind of not the point here. And the fact that we all, and I do it too, but the fact that we all keep putting so much priority on price, I really think is missing the point.
You can't not, though. I mean, there's an element of, you know, you get every household has, maybe it doesn't in yours, But every household has a budget, and within that, there's a budget for peripherals, and there's a budget for peripherals as in things that are not necessarily necessary, and then luxuries. And it's whether you see an iPad for your son as being a luxury or whether it's a necessity. He needs a computing device, but I've got enough old computing devices around that I could sort him something out. But he doesn't want that.
No, you're right, Ewan. I completely get it, and I'm not suggesting that budget should not be a concern. But when you're talking about that differential, you know, that strikes me as, yeah, you know, that I think you just got to look at the value you're getting for.
See, Ellis is doing a media course. So Ellis is doing a media course, and within that, there's going to be a certain amount of stuff where there will be key things within iPad that really will get a benefit for him on the media course with drawing applications or touching or Photoshop and that kind of stuff. And he can leech off my accounts and stuff. But if he's going to get something and all he's going to do with it is spreadsheets, Word doc, that kind of stuff, then I just don't see the point in him having that. You know, and that's when it's like, that's when 299 is expensive compared to 299 is not expensive when I get the other feature sets that go with it, which is going back to your point just now that you made about the watch. So it's got to be, it's like, if I give you my old iPad, I've got my old iPad here, my old iPad Air. If I give you my old iPad Air, Ellis, and you're kind of like, I'm using loads of this, Dad, but it's really clunky and slow and it's not doing really what I want. Can I have something better? At 299, sold. Definitely. 329, sold. Probably. It's not an issue because that's when the budget then meets the necessity. And that's where it is. It's a pairing and a balancing of the two.
It's a value proposition is the word that we're looking for. When the value proposition matches what it is that you either need to do or want to do. And, you know, to Chuck's point, like, you know, I remember I bought an Amazon Fire tablet for $49 because it was $49. Like, I really wanted to see what the cheapest tablet on the market could do for you. And
it was all right.
It's a Kindle. The other stuff doesn't work so well. Like, it's super clunky as a web, you know, type thing. It does play music. It does play Kindle very well. The battery lasts forever. So it ended up just becoming a Kindle. But, like, the tablet side of it, I don't know. Maybe it's because I came from iPad. I wasn't feeling it. But, I mean, I guess a lot of people use them and they love them. So it's a value proposition, and we just happen to be spoiled by the technology.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it gets more complicated when you go into larger organizations, like whether it's schools, school districts, or like bigger companies, because they're like the people making the decision based on purely on money, sometimes on budget. I mean, you have to remember, if you buy 10,000 or 100,000 devices, then like a dollar more will add up. And especially in schools where they sometimes don't have like unlimited budgets. I mean, nobody does, but like schools especially, it is harder for them to like to argue against certain people that like not always have like the people or the have either the knowledge or the like even have the students' best interests in mind. Yeah. Like sometimes it's political. I mean, I saw that on Hawaii actually with what Jerry like told me about what was going on there with the whole Microsoft thing. Like sometimes it's political and that plays a role there. And Apple is trying their best to make money less or like the price less of a argument against the iPad. I think that's what they're trying to do. Ultimately, Chuck, I don't think they can go down as low as like $50 or whatever.
No. Chuck, go on, you were about to come back there. I mean, it's your point to come back to.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you as a parent, because I never see this talked about, and I'm always kind of surprised. Does the fact that it's a Chromebook, i.e. a Google product, make any difference to you from a privacy perspective for your child?
No, because the stuff that he's going to be having on there, I don't think really it's his privacy that he's running amok with, which, you know, worries me a little bit because he doesn't necessarily get it totally, but he's not going to put anything out that's harmful, I don't think, to him. Really, the price point is about the fact that he's shoving that into a bag that he's taking to school that's getting banged into doors and clunked off, hand railings on stairs and stuff like that. So putting something in there that's nice and expensive, you know, give him a £1,500 laptop, and I'd be crapping myself who's going to break it every day. That's going to have Apple Care on it for a certainty. Whereas a Chromebook, I wouldn't care if he broke it. I'd get it fixed or I'd get a new one. But the iPad, I think, is offering a real alternative to that. It's a quality device that's got quality features on it, but it is fairly robust as well as, and you can buy a decent protective cover for it. It's slimmer, mm-hmm. so therefore it's not going to get as much abuse in the bag necessarily. So that's when that quality, you know, that value proposition that Doc was talking about, that's when that scale kind of balances out against the necessity of what he is he wants for it.
Okay.
I've been stupid in the purchase of technology for myself quite regularly, and I've regretted it afterwards. You know, I bought my Apple Watch when it came out. It was like, whoa, I've got an Apple Watch. And actually, within a few weeks, I realized all I was doing was telling the time on it and setting timers for cups of tea. and I didn't use it. So, and that's where I'm saying with the new one, I've seen feature sets where I think I might use it more. So that's when the thought process of buying it changes a little bit. But I'd be gutted if, I mean, Sharon uses hers religiously. She's got a Series 2 Nike and she adores, or Series 3 Nike, and she adores it. She absolutely loves it. She'll never want to do without an Apple Watch because she gets that utilization from it. She loves it for her keep fit and that kind of stuff. I need to do more fit because I've lost the weight now, but I haven't done any exercise, so I need to get back into sorting that out. So the value proposition may change. I think that's a good word. Just to finish off then, have we all had a play of Arcade? Have we all signed up? Are we all going to take it on? What do we think so far?
I've had a play today.
It's fun. I got Skateboard and Frogger. Well, it's just called Skate. It's not called Skateboard. It's just called Skate and Frogger. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah. Catalina's coming out in the 4th, and you'll get Arcade on the Mac then as well, won't you?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I got work to do, but I'll be sidetracked.
It's $4.99 on all platforms. I've signed up for it today, and I've got a few games down to have a go. I was really impressed. The games are good. Some of them are beautifully animated, and the playability is nice. And there's no friggin' adverts. It's massive. So that's it. I like it. I think it's a great move.
I guess not that much people had time to play with it yet. But
the thing is, I think Apple have made it, because now I've sat and played it, it struck me as soon as I said, why do you want to sign up for Arcade? Okay, $4.99 a month, here we go. I've got to be playing it lots to make it worthwhile. And then I suddenly realized, I'm enjoying playing games now on iOS. I wasn't enjoying playing games on iOS because I was sick and tired of having to switch my phone off. So, you know, put it on airport settings so I didn't get any of the shit stuff that was coming through. And I was sick and tired of having a 30-second ad cut in after I'd played one frame of pool. I think Apple's going to clean up, and I think developers are going to go into the system, and that's going to be it. Yeah, we'll get little incremental price rises maybe over the next couple of years, but I think the iOS store could die as a death of this. Could die as a result of this.
I don't think so. I think both models will exist, and I think both models are
They'll exist, but one will be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think both in-app purchase model and the Arcade model are fine if they're done correctly. Like, I don't have an issue with in-app purchase in itself. It's just how they're used. And I think what Apple is doing and what I really enjoy, I mean, I'm not a gamer, but I really like is that it opens, I mean, basically almost every game in the App Store right now is in-app purchase because that's the only way how you can make money. So, having this other option where you can say, okay, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to, especially as a smaller developer, I don't want to do the whole in-app purchase thing and deal with that and figure out a way how to use it and how to make money with it and all that. I think that's good. Like, that's good for the entire market, the entire game market, that there is another way. It's not in-app purchase or free, basically.
I love it. I think it's going to hit some developers very hard because the iOS model is going to fall quite badly at the in-app purchase end. All right, then. Fair enough. Just thought I'd get that off my chest. That was me being a bit of a fanboy.
I think one thing that we didn't touch on yet that deserves a sort of a good touch on is the myriad of things that came in iPadOS. I mean, we kind of talked about the ability to plug in a device, but pulling up screenshots from the corner and, you know, immediately being able to paint them is pretty incredible. The switching is better. I can't do this copy paste thing with the three and the whatever. That doesn't match yet, but I use a keyboard mostly. But iPadOS is pretty impressive. Like, it makes you wonder why this hasn't been there longer.
I haven't really had much chance to play with it. I've installed it on the iPad Pro, but I haven't got anywhere near it, really, in terms of trying to feature the set out and that kind of stuff.
It's amazing. You're going to get a kick out of it. Just, and again, it's like we talked about for iOS 13. It's a bunch of small, tiny little tweaks, but it just changes the way you want to use your iPad now. But I'll tell you, first thing, just plug a drive in and just be like, oh.
Right, okay. Should we set that as our homework for this week then? That we're going to, the homework for this week, chaps, is we're going to go away and we're going to actually play properly with iPad OS so that we can actually have an informed discussion, because I've avoided it today because I haven't done anything with it. I have no clue what I'm talking about. So that's the homework.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal. Mm-hmm. Assignment accepted.
Make sure you show you're working in the margin, though.
One of the good places to look if you're into that thing, I know Patrice is, I keep telling myself I'm going to do it and I don't do it as much as I should, is the shortcuts are supposed to be the money move, but I always forget to do stuff with shortcuts unless it pulls up in the, you know, pull down the screen and it says, hey, do you want to call so and so, like that's the only shortcuts I really use.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you to TSO hosts. A number of you actually put out some tweets on social media this week saying how grateful you are that TSO hosts had picked up the baton for us. They're very grateful at that. Brand recognition is what they want. So please, please, please make sure you keep doing the social media stuff and telling them repeatedly. I know you might say, oh, I did it last week, so why should I do it this week? Just keep putting it out there. They'll keep retweeting it. They'll keep saying thank you. They've been really kind. They're going to start retweeting a lot of our stuff when it goes out on content now. So that will help grow us. Hopefully we'll help grow them as well through the advertising. And there's going to be some giveaways coming along. They want us to write retro reviews. Righty's retro reviews have been picked up. They want to go on their content with those. So we're going to be doing those for them. And we've got an exciting time with them. They're a really nice team of people and they are really interested in investing time and effort in BTN. So please take the time to invest time in them, because if you don't and we lose them, then we disappear. Plain and simple. We stop getting all of this opportunity to do podcasting. And also, we're going to start doing some proper reads where it's like, okay, this is what we want to push this week. So I want to talk to you about virtual private servers. They've got a whole set of managed virtual servers for you that you can do your own thing on. These things start at £39 a month. That's all. So, and don't forget, if you're doing hosting with them, you can use the offer code BTN20 and get 20% off that as well as. They do everything that goes right the way through from a simple SSD-based VPS that's 400 gigabits of bandwidth and 20 gig of storage, and they go right the way up to £209 a month, which you'll still get your 20% discount on, don't forget, which is 160 gig of storage and 6 terabytes of bandwidth. That's pretty cool. So if you're thinking of having a server for yourself for doing something simple or something easy, storing things away, making something you got a bit more of a cloud access to, then the VPS is the way to go with these guys. And it can start at very little. And even the top-end server is not horrific. If you're for a business, that's a really good deal at £209 a month. So check out their VPSs. Go to tsohost.com/VPS. It's that simple. And they'll explain more what to do. And you've got this lovely little chat button at the bottom here, which means you can talk to one of their reps if you've got any questions about any of the systems that they're offering. Really, really good. Please check them out. And please make sure as well that you give them that social media recognition, because it means the world to them and to us. Right then, chaps, it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
I hate to do a back-to-back product from the same company, but I got my phone and I was standing in the store and I go, you know what's going to make the phone even more cooler? If I buy the coolest hipster douche accessory to go along with it. And so I bought it. And that's the Osmo Pocket 3.
Oh,
you didn't. Oh. Dude, that's this cool. Thing.
Yeah, no,
this thing is so rad. And I have I'm not the Osmo Pocket, it's Osmo Mobile 3. I have Osmo Pocket. I was like, I don't need to have both. Yeah, you do. There's reasons to have both. So one day you just want to grab the little lipstick thing and go. And then when you want to get more serious, because of the new phone and the new like RCA 731 circa 1969 three lens camera, this thing is amazing. Now, on the iPhone 11 Pro Max, it takes a little bit extra work to balance, but it's not like horrendous. I mean, you're talking a matter of like 20 extra seconds. But the video quality and the way it ties up, how this thing folds down nice and neat, like the whole package out of the box is about yo big. Like, it's quite amazing. Battery lasts forever. Motors are strong as all get. You charge it through a USB-C port, so it charges fast. And the updates that they keep adding to the Mimo app just make it even better. And I can't wait for this to come with the new Filmic Pro updates. You're talking about amazing video. So here's the cool part. Normally, a lot of these guys, they get more fancy and it became popular. The prices go up. No, this thing has come down. This thing is $119. Like, it's so cheap now that it's almost, it should almost be mandatory for anyone shooting video or time lapses or panoramics with the panoramas with the phone. So yeah, I would say honestly spend the extra $20 and get the advanced kit, which is $139, and it comes with a case and a little tripod, which is kind of dinky, but it's just better to have that case. But it folds nicely. It's hard to say how much good DJI has become.
Yeah, they've really cracked it. They have definitely sorted that market out. Really, really good stuff. Excellent, good pick, mate. Change. Chuck, what have you got for us, mate?
I'm going to go really inexpensive. If you bought a new iPhone 11, I got an iPhone 11 Pro, not the big one, but the regular one. I'm sorry, I'm still one of those guys that wants to put a case and wants to put a screen protector on. Right now, the cases are still kind of in flux. Some are out, some aren't. I usually go for a Spigen case, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, because they're inexpensive. They do offer a decent amount of protection, and they're pretty inexpensive, so that when somebody comes out with a new whiz-bang case, that's what I'll go for.
Hmm.
I got the Liquid Armor case, but that's, believe it or not, that's not my pick. I want to pick the Spigen tempered glass protector, okay, for two reasons. First of all, I don't know about you guys, but I never have gotten a glass protector put on properly. I'm always just a little bit off, and then it annoys me for the next year because I'm not going to take it off and try to reapply it or, you know, do it again. Spigen has really come up with the right kind of thing. It's a tray system that you put your phone face down in and then apply it, peel the stuff off, and it matches up every time. It's perfect.
Really?
I couldn't believe how easy it was.
Oh, make sure you get us a link, Max, because I'll be buying that.
I will. I'll stick it in the show notes in a minute. But here's the other thing, and I can't even explain this to you why, because this is a tempered glass case, right? Or a shield. But this feels different. And I have asked the people in my office to feel my old screen protector versus this one, which sounds a little strange.
I'm glad you finished that sentence eventually. I've asked the people in my office to feel my old pause.
But I've put them side by side, had them close their eyes, and they agree that it feels different. It feels smoother. It feels slicker. And it's not because it's new either. I don't know what it is, but it's just different, and it's a pleasure to use because I always feel like I'm compromising a little bit by putting that screen protector on as opposed to the nice smooth glass of the iPhone. Now that's gone. If anything, I think I may prefer this feel. So it's very different, and I'll stick some links in the show notes in a second.
And it is only because Apple have got rid of the thickness of the glass to try and get 2 grams out of the weight. So it could be the lightestest iPhone ever.
Well, actually, this is heavier because the battery is heavier. But you know, Chuck, I did what you did. I bought the Spigen Liquid Crystal because I said, well, until a moment or somebody comes out with a case that I'm going to really want to keep, this case was $12. And I said, well, might as well get the glass too. And I love how easy the glass was. It was just like blink, blink. I was like, hey, it's perfect.
Yeah, and that's it, Doc. It's perfect. It goes on just exactly where you would want it, and then feels just a bonus.
Excellent, mate. Good pick.
There's also no gap now between the case and the glass where the dirt would get stuck. You know, like before when you had a glass protector and you had a case, there was always a little fitment section right here that didn't really fit well, and so that's where the dirt would build up. But these two match so well. And there's no little, it's good. Good job, Chuck.
Thank you.
Excellent. Yep. Good one, mate. Did you say a price, by the way?
I've got to look it up, to be honest with you. They're very inexpensive. Yeah, it's cheap. It's like $10, give or take. Maybe even less than that.
Okay. Right. Brett, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I was tempted to talk about this super brilliant t-shirt I have on, but I decided to go with something gross. It's nanotape. I bought it because it was advertised to me on Instagram, which I'm a sucker. For some reason, Instagram ads are so well targeted that even though I hate myself for buying something from Instagram, I've done it multiple times now. This nanotape, though, is it's like
magic.
It's rubbery, gluey stuff, and you can use it like I took on my keyboard tray. I attached a USB hub off the side of my keyboard tray just by sticking it there, and it holds fine. I've attached to actually mostly use it for attaching USB hubs to like my nightstand, my keyboard tray, the side of the couch, etc. Just so I have USB ports everywhere. And it's if I were going to do that to my keyboard tray using glue, I would need clamps, and it would be almost impossible to remove. This, I'd literally just stick it there. It holds super sturdy. I can, you know, push and pull the USB plugs in and out of it. It never jiggles at all. And then when I want to take it off, which I did after a week, it's not as easy to get off as they say, but it can come off and not leave any residue.
See, now, this is the thing with, this is the only problem with Instagram, is that there's a truth or bullshit, isn't there, with every ad that you get, and it's just like, you look at it and you're like, I don't believe this is going to work. And yet,
Instagram people don't even ship anything. They take your money.
Yeah.
And like, they never ship, and you have no recourse through Instagram if that happens. So it is a total gamble.
When I saw that ad, I said, oh, this is total BS, right? So I go to YouTube and I looked up nanotape, and all I could find was the Chinese ads where they use Siri to do the voice, like they did text-to-speech. And I was like, no, I still don't trust it. But then I got to the third video, and this dude took a suitcase and he nanotaped it to his back window. And on the back, in top of the suitcase, he had like 5 books and a 15-pound weight. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. But you keep watching. So he takes his crap off. He unzips the suitcase, pulls out like 4 more books and the other 15-pound weight. And I was like, I'm going to gamble, because I looked it up and it was $12. So I bought it. And I was going to do that as my pick last week, and I forgot. It is amazing. Nanotape is legit, folks. Brett, you're the truth. I use it to hold up I built this thing, an oak, live edge oak key rack thingy. And I put all the little hooks and stuff, and I stuck it to the wall in the kitchen, and it holds everything, so much so that now I made a new one. It holds my pots, yo. I have my pots right above my thing now. I can just grab it like Martha freaking Stewart. Nanotape is live. It's so awesome.
I mean, there is a place in the world for things like screws, wall anchors, but it's good stuff, yeah.
It's amazing. Just buy it for the heck of it.
Excellent.
Hey, Ewan, keep it in the rigging bag, because there's a time when you want to stick a light panel to something, but you don't have a room for what they call the M&L clamps. You don't have a place for clamps. You can't put it anywhere, and you don't trust the blue tape. Gaffer's tape would peel the paint. You can take nanotape, stick it to the wall, stick a flat panel LED, and have a little practical light, you know? So cool. It's worth buying just for the camera bag.
It'd be great with that Lytro thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Little tiny ones, yeah, brilliant. Mm-hmm. If you want to know any of the links that we've got here in the cool things, then go to britishdentnetwork.com/chat, navigate to today, which is Friday the 27th of September, and all of the links for all of the cool things are all in there. You can just go and click those to yourself. It's kind of our show notes, if you like. You can see all the comments that people didn't make today and didn't interact with us on. Thanks, team. Patrice, what have you got?
I'm going to pick something I'm pretty sure I might have picked, or actually I'm pretty sure I have picked earlier this year, which is my Vizio TVs. I think they're still not in Europe, which is sad because they're really good. But the reason I'm picking them, and I'm pretty sure that hopefully goes for other TVs too, is the new HomeKit support that they added like fairly recently, like within a month or so, to the TVs. So what you can do now, and what I'm really enjoying and what I've been using since I basically already packed up my Apple TVs, is you can do either Chromecast or AirPlay to the TVs. And you can, at least with the Vizio TVs, you can actually control them with HomeKit. So you can turn them off at night or like when you go to bed, or like even remote control them. Like I toyed with my kids a little bit and like turned them off like remotely. They were on the TV and I just turned it off. Stuff like that you can do. And it works really, really well. Like there are no issues. I didn't even have to install the update. It literally just appeared. Like it was like, oh, by the way, now we support HomeKit and AirPlay or AirPlay 2. And I'm like, oh, awesome. And it just showed up in my network. And as I said, it works really well. The link I put in is for the ones that I have, the P-Series Quantum TVs. I don't know which other like Vizio TVs actually support HomeKit. But those are really good. And I'm actually selling them right now, which I'm very sad about.
Good pick, considering the timescale you had to get it.
Yeah.
My cool thing, so I've got Arcade this week and I've had a little play with it, and I really do think it's well worth the $4.99. I've enjoyed it very much. But my cool thing is one of the programs that you get in that. It's a puzzle game called Tint, and it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. I haven't got very far with it yet, but I've got stuck on one level. So Tint is effectively, it teaches you about colour matching. It'd be great for kids. So you get some butterflies that are two specific colours on the plate, and you can change whether they're butterflies or robots or flowers or whatever. And all you've got to do, it drops two dots of paint on there. You've got to get your paint to go to the correct butterfly. So clearly there's a green butterfly bottom right, and there's a blue dot and a yellow barrier. So if I draw the blue paint through the yellow barrier over to the green butterfly, it's going to give me a perfect green butterfly. So that's a successful route. So if I do the orange one here, look, I do red through yellow gives me to the orange butterfly, and I've highlighted that one. But then the problem I've got is I need to get through the yellow and get to the green without going across the orange, because if I go across the orange, it muddies the watercolour and it stops it from working. So you have to try and think of circuitous routes to get round it to make sure that you can do it with one and not do it with the other, so that you can get through both bits of paint. And I've got to say, I've really enjoyed it, and there's some hard levels on this, some seriously hard levels in this. But it's a brilliantly thought out game. Whoever thought of this is an artist, clearly, and they understand colour swatches, but they've totally got it. It would teach kids about mixing colours for painting and stuff like that brilliantly. It's called Tint, and it's free. Except you've got to pay $4.99 a month.
Okay.
And then, well, it's free because I'm still on the free trial. So there you go. It is free.
Yeah.
So that's it. Tint, T-I-N-T, on Amazon, Apple Arcade. Right. Right, fellas, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on the YouTube channel by the same name.
Brilliant, mate. Chuck, where are you?
You can find me at Mac Voices and also at my new show, Trek Favorites, MacVoices.com and TrekFavorites.com.
So I'm going through. I've got Star Trek, actually. I've ripped them all, and I've got them on the drive here. So between now and the big show, I am just going to be sitting watching Star Trek episodes.
I'm glad I've helped your productivity, Ewan.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks, man. Brett, where are you? Out of focus? Shirts, boomers?
What?
You're out of focus, or is it just your bandwidth? You're downloading porn?
I feel very out of focus.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, pal.
I have ADHD. I have trouble focusing. I am TT Scoff on just about every social service, and you can find me blogging at brettterpstra.com.
And about to drop an app that you're going to plug here.
Yes, which you can find out more about at nvultra.com.
Right, mate. Make sure you come back and plug the hell out of that when you
I absolutely will.
Good lad. And last but by no means least, Patrice, where are you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can also get me standing up. I've raised the desk right up and I'm doing the whole show stood up and I've actually really enjoyed it. So I might do this a bit more often. It's kind of cool. It's a bit more like being at the bar. Ewan Rankin at Twitter. I followed 12 Space Media on Instagram if you want to. I've had my green room done. I've got new lights up in the green room. It is stunning in there at the moment with my LED lights. We'll be back with the big show at 8 o'clock and we'll be back with Max Show next week as normal. Have a great weekend and thanks ever so much for listening. See ya.